This is the Horrible Video Game Podcast for Wednesday, July 8th from Horrible9.com. I'm your host, Justin Lacey, joined tonight by the other Justin, or the Justin, depending on your perspective. Justin Gifford, how's it going?
Not too bad for a rainy Tuesday.
How many Justin-only podcasts have I started with belaboring the fact that we have the same first name? Like all of them.
Not enough.
Needs to happen on a more regular basis. So, time to check in, see what the fuck you've been doing with video games. Hopefully, they're legal in most states. But what have you noticed about the last month or so? Just, are you gaming a lot? You gaming a little? How are you finding time to game?
I think I'm more or less on average. I was thinking initially when I was looking at our show notes that I was gaming a little bit less. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but I have been gaming less on the console a little bit because I got a new tablet.
Oh.
And you and I talked about it a little bit in terms of where do I find great games for the tablet? And you're so like, yeah, well,
what tablet did you get this time? You were
I got the Galaxy Tab S.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it's their flagship 8-inch tablet. The iPad mini sized.
Okay, cool.
And man, I like that form factor a lot.
So it's a beautiful device. Too bad there's no store to match up with how good the device looks.
Yeah, man, as much as I love the open infrastructure of Google, their store is a freaking wreck.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, Android is still the other platform. Like, it gets the ports after, you know, they've had iOS success. It's rare to see one kind of come from Android first and then go to the other platform. And shit just gets lost in, on the Android store. So, you know, we were talking about, I kind of rely on word of mouth of people that still play mobile games to tell me I don't have a good source, you know, online that just regularly bubbles up the latest and greatest games to play. But in the iOS world, I still find the app stores kind of, you know, top tens and recommended lists somewhat mm-hmm. useful, at least like when I'm just taking shots in the dark. But yeah, unless I've played it on most of the games I have on my Android phone, I have played on iOS. So I'm kind of useless to you.
Yeah, I mean, the editor's choice games tend to be pretty good, and I've found some other ones that I've enjoyed. I do think that if I'm going to play more games on a tablet, I'm going to have to break down and get a Bluetooth controller.
Yeah.
Because I just, unless the game is specifically designed for playing with the touch interface, the ports where they put the on-screen controls or whatever, you know, hey, you want to play Super Contra? Well, yeah. I can't do it.
Yeah. I guess I haven't found myself playing, I don't know, controller-focused games like that, like especially like ports or emulated stuff. I haven't had a big desire to play that on the tablets. I still go to, like, oh, I'm going to sit down and play the game, so I'm probably going to play it on a TV, but do you think you're playing more just because it's a new device, or is just how things are going that you just have, it's more convenient to play on your tablet?
I think it's more that it's a new device, and my old tablet was the 10-inch Samsung, and it was fine when I first got it, but Android was even further behind in terms of games when I first got it, and by the time they really kind of started to catch up, they're not all the way, but I think some of the AAA mobile developers, specifically Blizzard, are trying to get their stuff out earlier. but Hearthstone would not, it would run, but it ran really janky on my previous tablet. So I think I'm partly excited because I've got a brand new device that runs everything.
That's cool. So, yeah. I was pretty obsessed with my iPad mini when I first got it. I've tailed off, but I pick up maybe two games every 3 months, and I'm usually playing like some super casual game that I don't even have to think about, that I just kind of check in on, which Fallout Shelter's kind of fallen into that lately. Or my more competitive game like Hearthstone. But I don't balance too many mobile games at once. So are you still playing Hearthstone?
Yeah. When I when I do play some mobile games, I'm enjoying that. I finally beat the single player and moved on to playing online. And I've been a little surprised. Maybe the matchmaking doesn't have enough data to work with me yet, but almost everybody I've played, I've either crushed or been crushed by. There hasn't been any middle ground.
I kind of like that. I've always found that balance in Hearthstone, so it's something I appreciate that I never, even when I feel out of my depth, it usually kind of course corrects, and then I can feel tough too. And it's also, I don't know, sometimes you can build a good deck, and it's just a matter of which order you get those cards in, and it could be your lucky day or your unlucky day. So,
yeah.
So I was pretty obsessed in the last month with Witcher, and I kind of found myself like really just focusing on one or two games at a time, which is rare for me.
Like, weird.
Usually I'm playing five or six and not getting anywhere with any of them. But I made the switch to Arkham Knight when it came out, and that's going fine. But I'm waiting on them to patch the PC version so that it looks much prettier. Like, it runs fine on my computer. So I'm not worried. I'm not having the performance issues that people are having, but I know it can look a ton better. And I was like, you know what? I'll take a break until that patch comes out. And I thought I'd go back to Witcher, but I'm also kind of like, well, I don't want to get like deep into Witcher and then take another break for Arkham Knight. So I'm back to playing a bunch of little stuff. And so I don't know. I feel much more in a groove and just like trying out a bunch of indie games and just having fun with smaller games rather than heavy lifters like Witcher and Batman and any of the bigger games that I've been playing lately. And which is a good time to do it because this summer, I think the next couple of months are kind of light on releases. So basically, finish the games you want to finish that are already out, I'd say, by the end of August, early September, because then we're going to start to see some more games coming out. So I'm hoping to play a bunch of stuff. I still need to go back and play Dying Light and finish Witcher. So we'll see how my summer goes.
Yeah, I mean, I've noticed in our daily Slack conversations that you and Aaron have definitely been back and forth a lot on a lot of smaller indie games.
Well, that's been fun. We've been pushing ourselves on those Game Curious videos, just trying to make more videos for the site. And so it's just like, are you playing this one? Because I want to play that one. And if you're not going to play this one, I'll play it. And I don't know. We kind of feed off of each other that way and sound like crazy goofballs to the rest of you, I'm sure.
No, I'm kind of enjoying it because despite the fact that my main desktop really just, I need to build a brand new one at some point because I'm tired of screwing around with fixing it. But a lot of the indie games on Steam, I can play on my laptop.
Yeah. Yep. Good, because I got some recommendations along those lines. We'll get to those. But let's
spend my money.
Oh, no. What games are top of mind for you lately? What are you into?
Well, as you know, I played a whole crap load of Wolfenstein, but we'll save that maybe for last.
Okay.
A buddy of mine recommended getting into Massive Chalice, which I had never heard of other than, hey, it was free on Games with Gold. I downloaded that this evening, and from his description of it, I'm like, I feel like I could get lost in this. what was it? Defense Grid. It was one of the early, titles for the 360 on,
Xbox Live Arcade, I think.
Thank you. Which I dumped a really absurd amount of time into. From his description of Massive Chalice, I feel like that's a similar situation. Sure. Like, there's just something about that pegs all of my meters, my interest meters in the red.
So was it just the type of game? It's a turn-based strategy game, or what else was enticing you here?
It's a combination of the fact that it's turn-based strategy, which I like. I'm an old school fan of mainly the Heroes games, Might and Magic.
Okay.
But I do like turn-based a lot better than real-time.
Where did you fall with old-school XCOM and new-school XCOM?
I played the heck out of the old-school XCOM. I didn't get into until we were talking about the new one coming out, and I bought, I don't know, what was that? THQ package, maybe?
I don't know.
So I bought something that had all the XCOM games, and I played. So as an adult, I was playing.
Oh, it's probably Take-Two, because they own that now.
That's so. It, yeah. So I played through quite a bit of the first XCOM, Enemy Unknown.
Mm-hmm.
and, you know, really enjoyed it, but it was super hard, like so many of those games tend to be. And then when I'm drawing a blank on the subtitle, but the new XCOM, the new traditional XCOM came out, I played a lot of that, loved it, beat it, tried to play it on Iron Man mode. I cried when all of my guys died. I lost them. Anyway, I like turn-based strategy, plus the added quirk of the generational element involved really gets my attention. And then my buddy who recommended it to me was like, yeah, don't forget, like, don't just build up these two heroes and not think about your heroes coming up the pipe. You'll be screwed. And so that extra element really kind of got my attention.
I'd be curious when I want to get into the game, not really prepared to at the moment, but after playing Fallout Shelter and just managing families and family trees in that game, like, kind of it gets into like weird eugenics territory, and I would totally do the same thing in Massive Chalice and just, like, you know they humanize these characters to the point where you kind of care what happens to them, but at the same time you know you're overseeing everything, and you've got to make strategic decisions with who mates with who and which families are in charge, and there's a lot of interesting, I don't know, subplots that you can create on your own through that, and that sounds pretty fascinating. I was glad to see that. I wasn't sure how that game was going to turn out. It's been in development at Double Fine for a while, and honestly, I love that company's creativity, but the final products are always kind of, they always have their quirks. They're always solid, but they're hit or miss with me, and I wasn't sure how that would turn out, but it got pretty good reviews. I just haven't had time for it, so. But yeah, because I know if I got into it, I would stay into it, and yeah, we might lose you for a while if you dive in.
Well, the real concern is if we get my Sims and Tamagotchi Life. Is that the right name of the game?
Yeah, I think it's Tamagotchi Life. Yeah.
Yeah, we get my Sims and Tamagotchi Life playing wife to play Massive Chalice, and then I will not be allowed to use my Xbox One anymore.
We're just creating new problems with video games.
Why not?
I just wanted to clarify. So another thing to kind of keep an eye on here. You liked the recent XCOM games. Did you play like the originals in the 80s? Like 80s, 90s, PC?
Those, I did not play them at the time.
Okay.
I played Enemy Unknown and...
Well, Enemy Unknown's the more recent one. Like
what
Terror from
the
Deep,
original
and...
subtitle.
Yeah,
for the original, whatever the original subtitle from the one from like 92.
Okay, I was just making sure
and
we're talking about the same stuff.
I played some of Terror of the Deep
because the more recent ones are Enemy Unknown and Enemy Within.
Okay, and then... it was whatever it was XCOM.
Sure,
whatever the original
UFO Defense, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah,
and then I have not played Enemy Within.
Yeah, apparently, it's probably supposed to be awesome though. But XCOM 2, they just showed a bunch of that stuff at, like, right before E3 and at E3. It turns out that the aliens won. So imagine that game. Like, you should go check out a trailer if you haven't. But imagine that, you know, XCOM Enemy Within.
Aliens want to whoop their ass.
Imagine the Enemy Unknown gameplay, except now you are... The world has been taken over by aliens that have installed their own government and enslaved all of us and are just have this utopian-esque society. Except your group is, you know, ragtag rebel group trying to take these people out, these aliens out back on Earth. And I don't know, the setting looked awesome and looked like it felt completely different than the first one. So that was, I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited about XCOM 2. So
what is the other XCOM game that is not the turn based?
Oh, XCOM Declassified.
Yeah, I may want to pick that up sometime for
$20. It's supposed to be solid. I don't think it's a full price game, but it seemed solid for what it was. It didn't rock any boats, but like there's something about that setting, especially like, you know, taking it from the 50s standpoint of fighting aliens, that was kind of I think it's interesting.
Cold War FBI idea seemed really sweet.
All right, Beyond Strategy, and yeah, I'll be curious as how Massive Chalice turns out for you. What else you been up to, or what else you into?
Saw that ODST was that, you know, I think it was probably advertised. Maybe I saw it on Twitter, but it was $5, I think, as an add-on for the Master Chief Collection.
Might be free for you, I think.
I think I had to pay for it.
Oh, I thought it was. I thought it depended on when you got Master Chief Collection, and if you got it in a certain window, I think you might get ODST for free. But I don't know.
I think I had to pay for it. I bought Master Chief Collection the day it came out. I think
you should have got it for free.
No, whatever. It's $5. Whatever. But I never played ODST the first time around.
Why the fuck not?
I actually know the story to this. I was still in law school, so I wasn't just always buying games and keeping them and ever expanding game library. I sold Halo 3 back to buy something else, God knows what. So I couldn't play ODST, and I think I may have had the Red Ring of Death in between when I sold Halo 3 back and when ODST came out. So I didn't even have a save game or anything like that. So I basically would have had to rebuy Halo 3 and ODST in order to play it. I didn't play it the first time around.
It was independent, so somebody gave you some bad info there.
It was a standalone product.
It's a standalone. But
was mistaken.
But
their
fucking naming convention probably confused more than just you, because they pushed Halo 3 ODST. But anyway, this is. I think we determined that in that chat, but this is my second favorite Halo game.
I'm almost exactly halfway through. I'm loving it. I love that you're not Master Chief. I think the stamina versus health thing is a little bit of a contrivance. Like, you want to have regenerating shields, but you can't have shields because they're not Spartan. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Video games, man.
But... you know, I like some of the unique weapons. It's a lot of fun. And the other thing that I'm really liking about this is, so there's no Cortana, right? But you've got the city AI. Mm-hmm. The more I think about this, particularly having played Halo 1, 2, 3, 4 in one giant chunk, this entire series... It's about AIs. It's not about humans. It's not about the Covenant. The story of the series is about AIs. And it's about, it's about AIs. And I think they're kind of the heroes. The English major literary critical theory part of me is like, wow, that's really cool. That has nothing to do with the video game, but it's something I get a kick out of.
I remember liking the story a lot, but that was more from the structure of it. Like, I really liked how the hub world works and, you know, finding your missing squad mates and then kind of replaying their sections.
Well, and Nathan Fillion cheering me on is awesome.
I was going to say, how do you feel about, like, most of the Firefly cast is in this game? Like, at least three of them. Nathan Fillion, Jane, and...
Adam Baldwin. What is Gina Torres one of the voices?
She might be in it, but her husband on the show,
Walsh. Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, I believe Wash is in there as well. So that was like, I mean, it's still post Firefly, but it was just like I felt at home with this squad very, very quickly.
Nathan Fillion just said "Gol darn it" in a section, and I was like, "Wow, you guys know your crowd," but. You know, I like it. There are enough tweaks that it's not just cash grab reskinned Halo.
Right.
I mean, it still is Halo, but you know what I mean? It's a lot of fun.
Cool.
I wish it had a longsword section like Halo Reach, which is the best of the Halo games. But other than that, man, it's cool.
Nice. And I know, I don't know if you saw did you see any of the Halo 5 stuff?
Yeah, I did.
And that an ODST character is in Halo 5?
I'm not sure I realized that.
Yeah, Buck, Nathan Fillion's character, is in Halo 5.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely, I saw that because I was like, that's Nathan Fillion. Like, that's his face.
I forget, you know, I think like the next trailer that was up after that, I thought Nathan Fillion was doing a voice in that one too. So I thought, I was like, well, that's how you make a successful E3 trailer for me, is just put Nathan Fillion in it. So
there are very few people that I would physically and literally squee over, but Nathan Fillion is one of them. If I saw him in public before, I was like, dude, you're awesome. I'd be like, ee!
I think they need to take Nolan North. So Nathan Drake's voice actor, you've got, oh shit, I just forgot his name. He was just a PopCon. God damn it.
Alexis Tufik?
No, damn it. Anyway, so you get Nathan Fillion, you get Nolan North, you get Bruce Campbell, and you get Troy Baker. Troy Baker is who I'm thinking of. He does voices. He's the new Nolan North, does voices in every game. So I think somehow those four need to come together in one ultimate voice-acted game. Or maybe I just need Nolan North versus Nathan Fillion in some fashion, because for the longest time I thought Nathan Drake should be played by Nathan Fillion. So
I think you get the four of them, and then you add in, I'm drawing a blank
Mark
on her
Hamill.
Name. Mark Hamill. I was going to say Femme Shep.
She needs to like be in charge of all of these, this ragtag.
Oh my God. We're making a game solely based on
awesome voice actors.
Yeah. I mean, come on. You got as much as I enjoy Nathan Drake, the most impressive Nolan North voice is the Penguin in
Hell Arkham. Yes. Well played.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. When you have that moment of he's been in everything, you recognize him immediately. Then you're playing this game and this amazing voice acting performance comes across and you're like, well, who the hell is this guy? And you're like, what do you mean it's Nolan North? Ridiculous.
Nolan North.
Yeah. I've held off from that section in Arkham Knight for that purpose. So I'm looking forward to hanging out with him again.
I'm putting off Arkham Knight just a little bit because I will go into a black hole when that happens. When I start playing Arkham Knight, you're not going to talk to me for like a week.
Well, yeah, maybe I'll be playing it by then. Yeah. I think you've been hanging out with Nazis more than anything. So tell me about our game of the year 2014.
Oh my God. Wolfenstein. I can't really say enough about it. I mean, as magnificent as Fergus is, wow, man. I'm speechless right now just talking about this because I haven't really gotten into it. But Wolfenstein The New Order was fucking mind-blowing.
You sat through our Game of the Year, well, most of our Game of the Year discussion. I think we were just
arguing with you guys.
Yeah. And so
I didn't have anything bad to say about Wolfenstein, but I was like, I don't know, whatever.
So, I mean, it's got to be, like, before you're playing it, got to be overhyped to you. Like, there's got to be a party that's like, there's no way it lives up to what these guys said. So I was actually kind of worried for you to play. I was like, because I'm like, I'm sure we built it up into something that it wasn't, but it was kind of one of those games for me of I had mediocre expectations, and the fact that it was great was amazing.
I think there were two things that saved it from that. One was the last id game I played was Rage, which I thought was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Id knows how to make a freaking first-person shooter. That's all there is to it. So mechanically,
you knew the engine was going to be great.
Yeah,
great.
Mechanically, Wolfenstein is super badass. But going in with that, 9-year-old Justin Gifford, who played Wolfenstein 3D on, what was it, 5 discs?
Sure. I think I just had the one shareware disc, but yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, he would be really surprised and happy to see that 34-year-old Justin Gifford is still playing Wolfenstein. The other thing is that story was, wow. Every game writer for the story, or every game writer for every story, should take notes, not from what the plot progresses, but there were just a lot of elements that you don't see. You know, sex had a purpose.
No, I mean, of all games to give sex a purpose, fucking Wolfenstein.
Right. You know, there's a lot of discussion about the, you know, most of it's BJ's internal monologue about the ravages of war on his psyche. I mean, it was just wow. I wasn't expecting it hit in the feels over and over again. And yeah, it was incredible. So anyway, I played New Order, beat New Order. You know, I may go back and maybe even try and play it on nightmare mode, cause that's how I roll. But Old Blood had come out in the intervening period, and I thought, I'll give it a shot. Mm-hmm. And there had been enough period. There had been enough time where people, you know, done reviews, and they essentially said, look, the mechanics are still great, but the story, which was Wolfenstein New Order's strong point, is the weak point for Old Blood. And that is accurate. I'm kind of shocked. It's like, you guys, it's the same studio. I imagine it's most of the same crew. I realize that BJ hasn't been in a coma for 17 years, but come on, guys, you can't. There's just a lot of stock characters, basically.
Sure.
And that was a disappointment. I'm still enjoying it. I'm still playing it.
I mean, I don't know if it was possible for it to not be a letdown, but honestly, so I only played probably half of the first half of the Old Blood, realizing that it's kind of divided into two distinct chunks. Yeah, it didn't grab me, and it was kind of like, so I lost any urgency to see it through. I'll go back and play it, because it is fun for what it is, but honestly, that first half of the Old Blood was what I expected the full original game to be. Like, that was where my bar was for it. And so it met my original expectations for the series. It's just the fact that the New Order was so great and had those distinct moments and those, it was on another level. And the Old Blood just feels like, you know, kind of more paint by numbers, what you expect from Wolfenstein. And it's fine. And honestly, I don't have, you know, it's been a bit since I've killed Nazis, and you know, I'm okay with doing that, and that's, you know, that's a good time. But yeah, it just, like I said, it didn't grab me, and it'll be there, and I look forward to, you know, completing it, but no, you know, immediate desire to go do that.
Yeah, and I think the only other thing I have to say about the Old Blood is there, although the introduction of some new weapons was welcome, mm-hmm. It did seem a little rushed in that some of my favorite parts of New Order were the stealthy sections. And it feels like they realized that and tacked some on in Old Blood, and they're just not real well constructed. And at the same time, again, while the new weapons are great, there were other portions of this game that just seemed sort of tacked on, like the collectibles in New Order were varied, and they made sense, and they had some backstory. And this one's corners. Like find the gold bars.
It's, yeah, like, yeah, totally. I would 100% agree on the no imagination behind the collectibles in this one, but in the Old Blood. But what else was I going to say? You mentioned the stealth sections, and I appreciate those in the New Order. But I will say, because it was, when I saw the title, The Old Blood, and kind of the grindhouse-looking trailer that it has, I expected, oh, this is going to be guns blazing the entire time. Let's fucking do this. And mm-hmm. You don't really do that right off the bat, because you're fighting those super soldiers that they take a little bit of, you know, strategy to get around.
And, the super soldiers who are, like, attached to the ceiling.
Yeah, yeah. But it just made the beginning very methodical, and it wasn't. Like, I wanted an excuse to just dual wield for 2 hours straight, and you know, that's not what they made. That's not what, you know, it's not really fair of me to have those expectations, because they came from nowhere other than this is what I want right now.
They also screwed with my favorite weapon, so that irritated me. They made the assault rifle, the 46 assault rifle, in New Order was single fire or full auto. And in this one, they made it triple, like a 3-round burst or full auto. And it's just not very accurate and irritates me.
So how do you think, if you have a great single player, story focused, first person shooter in 2014, 2015, which honestly shouldn't be a success. Like, the deck is stacked against that possibility, honestly. How do you follow that up? Do you want, like, if you look at the Old Blood comes out 6 months later, 6 months to a year later, versus, like, you know, you've got your Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon as another example of how to do a sequel or an expansion to that core game. So I don't know, like, was there any way for us to not be disappointed by the Old Blood is kind of what I'm getting at. Like, should they have taken
they
more time?
They shouldn't have gone back to Castle Wolfenstein. They should have made Anya the hero. And they should have, it should have been about liberating, I don't know, Luxembourg or New York City or something. Like,
so in something that drastically different, do you, would you be okay with then waiting another year and a half for that? Because I feel like
if it was if the story was as good as Wolfenstein the New Blood, are you kidding me? I mean,
but do you prefer that, or you want them to just, like, hey, knock something out in 6 months and move on to your next game? Which do you think you would prefer?
You and I talk on a fairly regular basis, and you are well aware of my feelings for the formulaic annual releases.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan. I think they're for the most part, I think they're kind of a waste of time. I get tired of them. That's why I'll buy one, and then I wait a couple of years, and then I'll play another one.
Well,
buying three Call of Duties in a row was stupid, because by the time I finished Advanced Warfare, I was like, Jesus.
I don't think I don't think there's a threat of making this a yearly franchise. But
no,
it's like,
it wasn't. I'm saying they should have taken a year and a half and polished a story. And, you know, like I said, I threw out have Anya liberating New York City as just sort of a
no. But
but do something with it. Don't give me, like, I'm not playing. I did not love Wolfenstein: The New Order because it was a well-executed first-person shooter. Mm-hmm. I loved it because it was a fully rounded game with an incredible story. There's mechanically well-constructed, pretty first-person shooters. They're not a dime a dozen, but they're not rare.
I guess I think I either wanted them to go take the year and a half, the 2 years to make a standalone game that, you know, honors the strengths of the New Order, or I thought that what they're trying to do with this was to make more of just like a mindless arcade experience in a short time frame, which I would have been cool with, but it didn't go all in that way either. So it was just kind of like, this didn't really do anything for the series. It kind of reminded me back of, oh, why do we need another Wolfenstein game? So so ultimately I could have done without the Old Blood and would prefer either go in all in with like a simplified arcade, like, you know, reuse everything and make it quick, or, you know, put some thought behind it and go bigger with it. But
and despite this criticism, I'm not pissed I bought the Old Blood. Like, I'm having fun playing it.
I'm excited for Machine Games, this developer, to see what they're doing, because this, again, New Order came out of nowhere as far as its level of quality. So hopefully I want them to move on to something new real quick, whether it's more Wolfenstein or something else.
Absolutely.
All right. As far as maybe some recommendations for you, because although I think Massive Chalice is going to take up all your time, I have to start this off with, why you kind of mentioned you're holding off on Batman for a little bit. Why are you holding off on Batman? And I'll even throw The Witcher in here.
Probably a couple of reasons. One of which is we're taking your ass to Vegas. So
my fault.
I'm constraining my budget. Yeah, it's totally your fault.
All right.
Also, you know, I've got ODST. I still haven't finished Old Blood. I'm playing some stuff on my tablet. I now have Massive Chalice. Those games aren't going to go anywhere, and I will play them in 2015 so that I can talk about them with some degree of knowledge at the Grammys. I promise.
All right.
But I'm going to love Batman. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to love Witcher. So what's the rush?
Interesting.
I got other stuff. I don't like building up a backlog.
Yep. Fair enough. I should probably take lessons from that. I think that's been established. Do you have the Jackbox? I know you're a You Don't Know Jack fan. I can't remember if you got...
I'm sorry, there's more?
The Jackbox? Yeah, do you have the Jackbox or just You Don't Know Jack?
Just You Don't Know Jack.
All right, so last year, and I was...
You have my complete attention.
Last year, I was really late to this party, and it the Jackbox collection, I forget the... Yeah, the Jackbox Party Collection or whatever, it's available on... pretty much everything, PC, consoles, and even has mobile versions, depending on how you want to play it. It made a push for, like, local multiplayer game of the year at the Grimmies. Two of the guys have played it, and we're just, like, throwing it out there. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And it was like,
how did I miss this? You Don't Know Jack is one of my favorite, I mean, hands down, it makes my top 25 games of all time.
All right, so we'll use that as the baseline here. So it's You Don't Know Jack plus some other games. The way you play it, though, is you've got your hub system. For me, it's the computer or use a console. You pull up the main screen on your TV, pick your game, You Don't Know Jack in this case, and then it says, hey, go to jackbox.tv on your mobile device, so on your phones, and just sign in. And it does it super quick from the browser, and that becomes your controller. So anybody can play.
Wow.
And it's super slick. And anyway, so I love You Don't Know Jack, but that's kind of the known quantity. There are four or five games total, two of which are the games that I go to. We play it at the office, and I took it over to some of our mutual friends recently. Like, we stopped playing Cards Against Humanity, started playing this. Like, and I know you have board game nights and like trivia and that kind of stuff, so it's right up your alley. But so the two big games we play, one is Fibbage. And this is a game where it gives you a question and everybody fills in their own answer. And the goal is to trick people into picking your answer as the right answer. So you fill out your answer and then it comes up. Here's a selection of all the, you know, the six answers that are submitted.
Gotcha.
Plus the correct answer is in there somewhere. And yeah, you get points based on if you one pick the correct answer and more points if you trick multiple people into picking your lie, and then
nice.
So it continues from there. And then the other game, which is hit or miss at first, but people really get into it, it's called Drawful. So same kind of setup. Everybody's on their phones, and it starts the round, and everybody gets a different thing, a different topic to draw on your phone. No one can draw well on their phone. That's
no.
And so you draw whatever it says, and then it'll go through each person and say, here's the drawing. What do you think it is? Everybody fills out an answer, and then it shows all the potential answers plus the right answer. And you get, as the drawer, you get points if people select the right answer because you drew what it said. But as the guessers, you get points if people pick your wrong answer. So those two are a ton of fun. But this week... that team added a new game. It's not actually in the Jackbox. You have to buy it individually, but it works the same way. We've been playing it at the office. It's awesome. It's called Quiplash, which is multiple people sign in and do the same thing. Everybody gets two fill-in-the-blank questions, and you fill in your answer, and then it goes through, and it pairs your answer to one other person, and all the other people vote on which answer they like the best. So, like, I think mine was, you know, what's an attention-grabbing headline? And I said something about the Kardashians or whatever. And, you know, and somebody else makes a racist joke or something like that. And the room votes on which is the best. And I don't know. It's been a lot of fun because it's total bullshit. And with a big group of people, that game's been a blast. So, you should find a way to get that on your TV.
I really think what I should do is put this in our company newsletter and be like, yo, I'm hosting a game after work on Friday.
There you go. Yep. We play it on, we tend to play it like every other day in the office, just to end the day, just to randomly say stupid shit. So, I think Quiplash and the Jackbox is a big winner for you.
Yeah. No kidding.
Do you play fighting games?
No, I don't.
You're more competitive with your console gaming than I gave you credit for. Like, as far as the amount of Titanfall and Call of Duty you used to play, Like, you like to get online and bust some heads, but I didn't know if that went into the fighting game realm.
Yes and no. I mean, it doesn't, because I never really got into the resurgence of Mortal Kombat. I don't know what the hell Mortal Kombat it was that came out on the PlayStation 3 when we were in college. Was that 2? The newer Mortal Kombat games, I've never gotten back into. The one I played a little bit with Cole. But in terms of fighting games, I really enjoyed the Super Smash Brothers games, or Smash Brothers games. But I never bought a Wii or a Wii U, so I haven't played one of those in a while.
Well, I'm a huge fan of the two most recent Mortal Kombat games, plus the DC fighting games that they've done. So the
right. ones. Oh, I guess I played a little bit of
MK9 was fantastic. Yeah. So DC versus Mortal Kombat started this group of four games. Like the 3D Mortal Kombats before that were kind of shit. Like the Xbox and PlayStation 2 era ones were, they all had their issues. But from DC versus Mortal Kombat forward, they've been spectacular.
Which includes Mortal Kombat X, DC versus Mortal Kombat Injustice.
Whatever. Yeah.
Which, and honestly, both Mortal Kombat X and Injustice, I've wanted to play. They just sort of slip between the cracks. So
I played the hell out of this on Mortal Kombat X on PS4. Can't recommend it enough. They just added, the first DLC character was Jason from
right,
and they just added Predator as a character. And didn't know if that had any draw for you, but I would recommend checking this out. Maybe at a sale for you or something like that. But
yeah.
it's solid.
I will probably try and play that and Injustice, although neither. I don't know what the Predator's movesets are, but having been a horror movie aficionado, I guarantee I will not be playing as Jason because he's a big lumbering bruiser, and that's not my game style.
Sure, yeah, I would think Predator's the more agile of the two. Jason's apparently huge, like just height wise and build wise compared to the other MK characters. We talked about Massive Chalice, but the other strategy game you might want to give a shot. If you want to go less sci-fi and more Mission Impossible, check out Clay Games Invisible Ink.
Yeah, fill me in on this, because I know you and Aaron were talking about this, I think.
It's I get intimidated by turn-based strategy games. They can get a little bit overwhelming. XCOM had that pressure of, you know, I loved and hated the fact that my soldiers would die, especially ones that, you know, I grew attached to and that kind of thing. And Invisible Ink just has some of the best tutorials for a strategy game that I've played, and then just adding in the espionage angle to it just makes it feel different from any of the other turn-based games that I've played. And it's super slick. One of the strengths of Clay Games, I don't know if you played Mark of the Ninja, but like they do a lot.
I own Mark of the Ninja.
They do a lot with that way. With their UI and how they communicate. Like, they communicate information to you as a player without taking up a bunch of the screen, and they've translated that into one of these grid-based strategy games. And it's, you know, so it's deep, but really easy to play. And
yeah.
Has a really nice art style and interesting characters and, like, just a different tone from the other strategy games. Cause all the other ones are, like I said, more sci-fi related, and this was
right.
A little bit different flavor. So highly recommend that one. But I don't know. I mean, I played this right before Massive Chalice came out, so that was kind of the reason I didn't jump to Massive Chalice. So I guess if Massive Chalice doesn't hit with you, and since it's free on Games for Gold, Invisible Ink might be worth a shot.
Okay, so tell me more about Axiom Verge, because you guys will not shut up about it. I don't know that you're even playing it, but you won't shut up about it. Who's going to play it? I'm going to play it. You're going to play it?
So there's been a slew of Metroidvania games that have come out. There's actually a couple more coming out that aren't even your typical Metroid games, but there are three of them that are directly inspired by Metroid, very sci-fi, very very space exploration focused. The first of which was Axiom Verge. It had it's on PC and PlayStation 4 now, but it like the art style looks straight from Metroid on the NES. That was totally what it was emulating.
Holy crap.
and it is deep. Like, as far as, like, if you've played Metroidvanias before, you kind of know what to expect, but he's got twists on all the weapons and the abilities and how they unlock and what they do, and it's just really, really inventive, really impressive that it was, everything was made by one guy, and super deep, super old school, but if you'd like, you know, it's even missing some Super Metroid features that, you know, might, it could benefit from, but it's very purposeful in its design, and definitely one of my favorite experiences so far this year. So can't recommend that one enough. The new one that I just posted a game curious about this week is, like, if you took Metroid and just did a minimalist take on it.
Okay.
I don't think you'll like the art style in this one, but it's a much kind of smaller scale Metroidvania, but also just exploring a space station. Very, very, again, simple, deliberate design. Very, you know, reminiscent of Axiom Verge, but I'm playing through that now. I think it's got a little bit smaller scope than Axiom Verge 2, so...
Sorry, I didn't... This is not a visual medium. I just looked at the some images. I'm not playing that based on the art style.
I think you can... I don't know. Like, it, it's... I think it's beautiful for what it is, so... and the sound design into it just kind of goes with the loneliness of exploring space. It just feels great. But I'd say check out my video and you can decide. But, and then the third one that I completely forgot about is called Zeo Drifter. So I can't speak to that yet, but it was more of, hey, Gifford, if you are hankering for a Metroid experience, there's three choices out there that just came out and they're all pretty solid. So
Axiom Verge definitely looks interesting. Zeo Drifter, I think I can probably handle this art style.
You like outlines and hard edges on your pixel art.
I do. I don't like my pixel art to be fuzzy. We've never actually, as far as I'm aware, we've never actually published this entire debate that we went through, right. But about three quarters of the Horrible Night crew went through this entire thing where I was slagging on pixel art as a game design choice, more or less, because a lot of it I don't like.
We also determined that your colorblindness comes into play with some of those art styles.
But I'm not colorblind. I'm just border... like.
When you've got yellows on browns.
Yeah, when you have... Yeah. There are certain colors that it doesn't work well for me. I'm borderline colorblind. I'm not crazy about it, so it has to be done.
Did you look at Environmental really well. Station Alpha in motion, or did you just look at the screenshots?
I just looked at the screenshots.
Okay. Check out some videos before you make your full mind, but I'd be happy if you tried out any of the three of them. I think I definitely know Axiom Verge will...
Axiom Verge looks like that I could play... I could be playing on Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
And you know what? The pixel art on Super Nintendo doesn't bother me because it's a Super Nintendo and it's where it belongs.
Well, I don't think we have time for that discussion. So let's move on to some newsworthy stuff in the game industry. I want to talk about something completely ignorantly with you. I don't know why this got some buzz on in our Slack chat, but and I don't know when I crossed this line to now I am officially cheering against Star Citizen. But apparently the big news this week was one of the executive producers has left the company. Star Citizen is, you know, the biggest crowdfunding game ever.
Biggest crowdfunding period, I believe.
Oh, man. 85, I think they were over 85 million the last I checked. They're starting to miss deadlines that they set. They're trying to do their release next year, and you know, now there's some shakeups in their higher ups, and I said, it was kind of like the what's the term? It's like this is the first thing that has fallen of, yeah, I'm gonna pull up a chair and get my marshmallows out and might enjoy this bonfire once it gets going. Not that I'm
which I had to call you out for because that's not normally your role. You're normally saying, no, they'll be okay. They're a good team. Blah. No, he got all excited. He's like, I can't wait for this. Just break out Schadenfreude as far out as I can.
I don't know what, like, it's just, there's something, like, I appreciate transparency with crowdfunding, and I don't know, just the way they were raising money for this and just the blind faith that people were showing in this project that hadn't proven anything other than, hey, we have a lot of really cool ideas, but the execution still remains to be seen. And now, you know, some questions are being raised, and I'll be really curious to see how that turns out. Are you more optimistic or more hopeful?
Well, I mean, I know they have a playable, I don't know if it's an alpha or a beta or what, but they do have the playable
stuff you can walk around. Yeah.
I read a review of somebody who actually did some playing of the flying part, the ship stuff, and said that was, you know, pretty enjoyable. You know, broke out with the whole HOTAS setup, and
yeah,
you know, they had a good time playing that, and that's great. But they were, their stretch goals, I think, are causing the problem. The fact that they had one game and then they decided to basically expand it into three.
Yeah.
All at the same time in the same universe. And I'm going, $84 million is a lot of money, but, you're talking about basically three AAA games all at the same time, even if they're separate teams. Like, that's not how you do it.
You started busting out like rough numbers for other AAA games, even Call of Duty, and just comparing the budgets there. And my first reaction
million
was
for Call of Duty. It ended up being $200 million when you included their marketing and promotion, but still, that's $100 million for a game they know how to make that they do all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, so, it's going to be a cluster. And like I said, get your seats ready now. I'm going to put my foot in my mouth, and we're going to get the most amazing, engrossing space experience video games has ever seen. Or we might see the formation of a black hole. I don't know.
I'm not rooting for their demise, but at the same time, it's kind of like, you guys should have stopped. Just been like, you know what? If you keep giving us money, we will come up with stuff after we turn out the original product.
Yeah. It's just be a little bit more, I guess I'm looking for modesty at this point. Like, be a little bit more modest and realistic with your goals and communicate with fans. So hopefully they at least improve that aspect, and I could turn around pretty quickly. So, this is I don't know how to rack this story. I haven't talked to you about this, but, so bunch of, fan conventions going on. Nolan North, upcoming voice for Uncharted 4 of Nathan Drake, well versed in working with Naughty Dog. He also had a role in The Last of Us. Went ahead and in his little panel kind of dropped the bomb of he knows that Naughty Dog is working on The Last of Us 2, and that just, I think my gut reaction is it rubbed me the wrong way. It's kind of curious. You know, we've been talking about, like, what's it going to take for you to get a PlayStation 4 and what games you're going to play, and most of those games are Naughty Dog games, so kind of curious what your reaction is to the unofficial announcement of The Last of Us 2.
I think they're all Naughty Dog games. My official reaction to this is, when you said it rubbed you the wrong way, I was kind of like, I don't know. I got why him saying it without it being official rubbed you the wrong way, but at the same time, it was one of the best games of both Xbox and PlayStation of the last generation. Duh. Yeah, of course they're making a sequel.
That's totally fair. But I don't know. It was just like, dude, I know you're like in the family, so don't you like, so he, yeah, you would know. It's kind of like, yeah, you would know among most people, but don't you also know that you shouldn't be talking about it? Like,
if he was bound by an NDA, he wouldn't have said anything. Like, the dude's a professional. I'm guessing that somebody said, hey, by the way, if they bring this up, you can say, you know, that we're making it.
Yeah. And maybe I didn't get the whole context, but it was just, it's like, that's not how anybody really wanted that to go. And like, we're coming up on the new release of the next Metal Gear game. And with, you know, their kind of famous voice acting change from David Hayter to Kiefer Sutherland. It was just kind of like it's interesting to see voice actors kind of speak out of turn. Like, even though, like, you might think,
did they replace David Hayter because he spoke out of turn? I don't know. Wasn't following that because
it was more of he announced the role that he wasn't working on the game, that they had gone with somebody else, and he was kind of bitter about it, and that, which could all be a swerve at the end of it. Like, they could, because it's not like Metal Gear isn't full of surprises, but I don't know. It was just kind of like, you know, you're part of the family for the reason, but they can also replace you. And I don't know. It was weird. It was, but also, well, like you said, of course they're making The Last of Us 2. So is that really news?
Yeah, that's not news.
All right. Get out of here with fun stuff. I want to start with the one that made me laugh the most. I don't know if you played Thomas Was Alone, but it became...
I did not, but it's my son's name, so now I need to play this.
It was kind of like an indie darling there for a bit. It's shown up on like every platform, got a big... it's a big cross-platform release for Vita and PlayStation 3, and came to PlayStation 4 really, really quickly too, like after it had been out for a while, so kind of had a little bit of resurgence. But it's a like really well-designed platforming puzzle game where you control these 2D pixel art blocks. Like, you've got your cube, you've got your tall block, your short block, your whatever.
Mario and Luigi, basically.
Pretty much. All the blocks have character names, and they have a really great narrative, and it's charming as fuck. Well, now you can finally collect your Thomas Was Alone 3D action figures, because those are officially out, and they just look, they're just colored blocks, and I love them.
The surreal nature of that just... Yeah. That cracks me up. It's sort of absurdist. And, you know, when somebody, what we were talking about, EA's vault, the EA Access.
Uh-huh.
I don't begrudge anybody coming up with a new access or a new income stream. Like, okay, fine. I think that's a stupid idea, but fine. I love this because it's absurd.
I mean, you can get your very own Thomas, Chris, John, and Claire. Apparently, Claire, who actually floats, because that was her block's ability. I don't know, because there are fans of this game that would look at these and immediately be able to identify which characters they were and connect with them that way. But at the same time, they're just blocks, and it's awesome. And it's also so far after the fact, too, and I love everything about it.
Pet rocks, dude.
So that is as happy as video game action figures get right now, I think. Then there was this kind of neat little Polygon story that I hadn't, which I'm surprised we haven't seen more of, with Shadow of Mordor almost, you know, it came out end of the year last year, and we were huge fans of its nemesis system and the way you can get the orc captains to battle against each other. But apparently, like, of course, the internet's going to get creative and come up with rule sets for how to play this game specific ways. And they Polygon kind of published the how to play Shadow of Mordor like an evil Pokemon trainer. And it was just really interesting because it's just like, no, the game doesn't do it directly, but if you set artificial limits on yourself, like you can only control four captains at a time, and you can't interfere when they have battles with other captains and unless these scenarios exist. It was just like, I would go back and play this game to just mess with that system, and I kept meaning to, but now I just need to go find different rule sets to make my own games, and it just becomes like this bizarre combination of playing with your action figures and playing a video game that is awesome.
Don't go to No Wrong Way to Play, I guess is what I'm going to say, because that is a rabbit hole I fell down, and oh my God, it's... It's fantastic, from the guy playing Dark Souls 2 with a guitar controller to the guys who invented roulette on Grand Theft Auto 5, because apparently when you carry a grenade launcher, if you punch a car while you're carrying the grenade launcher, it will explode pretty quickly. But after a random number of hits, between one and... I don't know, 8 or 10.
Awesome.
So they're playing multiplayer, and each one would have to go up to the car and punch it while carrying a grenade launcher, like Russian roulette. That was hysterical. there were some games I'd never heard of, but this entire Tumblr page is awesome. I'm mind blown at the creativity that some people come up with of creating entire new rule sets for games that had their own story and rule set.
Yep.
And you went, no, that's not good enough. I'm going to come up with something else.
I mean, I don't know when we crossed over from, like, I mean, that's how we used to play with Legos and action figures. You make up your own stories. And now we have these super sophisticated sandboxes and video games. And I've never been one to really get in there and mess with it, other than I will do it if I'm playing co-op with a friend and, like, you know, we're suddenly the Contra guys in Saints Row 3. That was one of the first things we did. But especially Shadow Mordor is set up so great with that Nemesis system to have to do anything you really want with it, and that I haven't played with it is kind of surprising, but it's this kind of refresh that memory of, oh yeah, I need to just get in there and just fuck around with this game and more games. I want that to be my gameplay habit of this year, rather than being lame and just being a completionist like I usually am.
I think the thing that has now motivated me about this is that historically the most creative I've ever gotten was making drinking games for example, Finding Nemo. But ignoring that, I apparently have some sort of creativity, the latent creativity. I could come up with new rule sets for different games. Hell, Saints Row 4 is almost begging for it, since already in
I feel like it should
a
be
virtual
more,
reality.
I feel like it should be more obvious than ever, and this is kind of a shot in the arm for me to mess around a little bit more. I think it'd be fun. So, yeah, but check out that Tumblr, because it's ridiculous.
And find the Grand Theft Auto Roulette. It's a 5-minute video, and I was laughing like hard enough to bring tears to my eyes.
I think that's all we've got time for today. But Gifford, great catching up with you and your games. We'll do that again real soon. And Horrible Night, we'll be back with another podcast next week. We'll talk to you then. See ya.
Later.